Our text is again in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I'll read the text, which is verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Each true Christian has each of these characteristics. Among other things, they hunger and they thirst. For what? Righteousness. Now, we're not telling you how to be a Christian. I've said that before. I say it again. Because many people are misled and they think this is the way to become a Christian by living like this. No, this is the way the Christian lives, who's already born of God and has received Christ and has been united to Him in faith. This, I say, is the way the Christian looks. And God has distinguished him from other folk, from other people, from the rest of the world, by giving him his grace, and therefore has given to him these characteristics in his life. Now, maybe I'm speaking too quickly. Most of you have never been hungry. Most of us, put myself there, have never really been hungry. Usually we have too much. Now what we read is that those who hunger are blessed. But none of us seems to know what hunger is. Or maybe a little bit of it. But do we know it truly as we need to know hunger? Do we know it in the physical world? Do we know it in the spiritual realm? Now, blessed or happy, that's what that word blessed means, can be translated, but a deep, real, satisfying happiness, not frivolous happiness, happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time. No, not that. But a profound, real, deep-seated, satisfying happiness belongs to those who hunger. Strange. He puts such a twist upon these things. They're in the Old Testament, everywhere through the Old Testament, but we do not understand because our thinking is more earthly, more worldly. So we think those are happy who are satisfied, who don't hunger, who have enough, who don't thirst, whose thirst is quenched. But for what do these who are blessed hunger? For righteousness. For what do they thirst? For righteousness. Now the world hungers and seeks for happiness, but it's seeking it in all the wrong places and in the wrong ways. It is impossible that you should be happy unless you are also holy and righteous. No holiness, no happiness. Not here, not now, not ever. It is righteousness that you must seek, that I must seek. If ever we are to be filled with the blessedness that is spoken of here, if ever we have the happiness that is spoken of in the text, we must be filled with righteousness. Indeed, we must begin to hunger for the right things, the true things, the really satisfying things. For righteousness, for holiness, we should be hungry. Nothing less than true holiness brings true happiness. Now you have been blessed by God have heard God say. You've heard him say this. Be ye holy as I am holy. Says it all through the Old Testament, through the Pentateuch. He says it in Peter again. Be ye holy as I am holy. I'll read it for a moment in Peter, at least, giving you some feel of it. It's not just an Old Testament statement. This is all through the New Testament. And it certainly is very clear in the first chapter of 1 Peter. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, the Pentateuch, be ye holy, for I am holy. No holiness, I say, no happiness. You long and hunger after righteousness. We long and hunger in the world after many things. Sometimes it's physical food. Sometimes it's earthly treasures. Sometimes it's fame and fortune. That we would be built up. That we would be promoted. We hunger for many things. The world does in this world. But they are all wrong in very many ways. Not in themselves necessarily, but if they become an end in themselves, they're wrong. Now the work of grace gives a new record in heaven, but it gives a new disposition on the earth so that we're not the same people. We don't love the same things. We don't desire the same things. We don't hunger for the same things. Now I say again, the world knows nothing of this, but the Christian does. He hungers and he thirsts for righteousness. Now, hungering and thirsting indicates several things. First of all, emptiness. It says the person is empty. If he's hungry, thirsty, he does not have this fullness, the satisfaction that comes with fulfilling your appetites. So he has a sense or a feeling of his own emptiness. Painfully sometimes. Painfully, I say, of his own spiritual emptiness. Empty of self, empty of the world, empty of sin, empty of everything, empty of righteousness and holiness. And many are self-satisfied. Perhaps you today are self-satisfied. You're full of self. You're full of the world. You're full of sin. What is it that fills your life? What is it that you are seeking to satisfy yourself and your life? Many seek the humdrum, the ordinary. They seem to be satisfied with just everything as it is, as it was yesterday, so it'll be today. And the humdrum seems to fill many people. But if you are full, Luke says, woe. Not blessing, but woe. So you must realize how empty you are. And therefore I would ask you, are you hungering and thirsting for the right thing? For righteousness. Now hunger and thirst not only show us that we're empty, would speak about our being painfully sometimes empty, but hunger and thirst are a sign of life. Only those alive are hungry and thirsty. The dead don't hunger. The dead are not thirsty. So happy are those who hunger and thirst, who are alive. And you're delighted with righteousness. This life that you have, this new life in Christ, will give you a hunger and a thirst. and it will give you much delight when that hunger and thirst begins to be satisfied with the things that can satisfy and will not, as it were, cloy or turn sour. Now, hungering and thirsting indicates also a strong desire. Not only emptiness, not only life, that there's life in you, but it indicates there's a strong desire after that which is suitable and necessary for life. So the pain of this hungering and thirsting after righteousness longs, hungers to be satisfied. This strong desire begins to arise to the surface. So what a soul made alive by the grace of God desires, what is it they desire? Not the world, not the flesh, not the things of the devil. Many hunger and long and desire those things, but that's not what we're talking about. The grace of God that has made us alive will desire what? Righteousness. True holiness. No, we will not ever arrive in this world. But there is nothing else in this world that can satisfy, that will satisfy the hungry and the thirsty soul, but righteousness. Christian longs and longs until there becomes sometimes a pain within his soul for righteousness. Nothing else can satisfy the hunger and the thirsty soul but righteousness. Now, there will be a day when it will be satisfied in the world to come. But do you know anything today, right now, of this kind of appetite, this kind of hunger, this kind of thirst? Thirsting for righteousness. Are you a Christian? This is the evidence, or part of the evidence, that you are a true Christian. That you have this hunger, this desire, this life that is hungry and thirsty. Well, I wish to spend most of the time this afternoon in application. So having looked at the text, explained a little bit about it, expounded it a bit, let us look at the application. How can a Christian be more righteous than he is? Is it possible? Will we ever be righteous? Where is that righteousness then to be found? What food or drink will satisfy our hunger? Well, we read in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Do you long for the Word of God? This is the way you can satisfy your hunger. How will you be sanctified? How will you be made holy? How will you be made righteous? By the Word of God. So you will be hungry for the Word. There will be a new appetite, a new desire for the Word of God. Sometimes it's even painful, as I say. Do you delight in the Word of God? Do you long for it? Do you delight in it? Is it your greatest pleasure and delight that you have the Word of God? That you can listen to the Word preached? That you can study it on your own? That you can find other books that help you to understand the Word of God? Those books I like best are those that help me understand the Word of God. Do you have any relish? That's a big word. Maybe you don't know what relish is. Something that stimulates your appetite. But we have a relish, stimulant for the Word of God. we might be nourished and built up in our most holy faith. So what do you delight in? What do you long for? Is it the Word of God? Thy Word is truth. And we are sanctified, what? By the truth. Now, if this is not your longing, if this is not what you delight in, why not? Are you still dead in your trespasses and sins? Could it be that you are? If you have nothing of desire for these things? Have you learned to hunger? Have you begun to hunger? Is there a certain longing for the Word of God in your soul? Maybe God has already begun to deal savingly with you then, if you're hungry and thirsting after the Word of God, because you know that is the only source of true satisfaction. The truth of God's Word. Now, you may desire heaven, you may desire happiness, but you have to do it really in the way in which God has laid it out, God's terms. It isn't longing for heaven that will make you happy. It isn't longing for happiness that will make you happy. There is something else you need. You need the truth of the Word of God. Even a Christian sometimes can lose his appetite. Perhaps yours has waned. If not gone away, at least it seems like it may have left you entirely. How does this happen? How can a true believer, a Christian, lose his thirsting, his hunger for righteousness? Well, maybe this distension, maybe there's the swelling, the bloating that's come upon some people physically, that's taken place spiritually in you. You're filled with yourself. You're gloating on yourself. You're bloated with self-righteousness. And then you don't hunger for it. You feel satisfied. You don't want to come to sermons. It was a little long this morning, I confess, and apologize a bit for it. I should have maybe preached two sermons on that subject. I hope it'll be more brief this evening, but sometimes we do the wrong things and maybe that turns people off. But do you have any hunger to hear the Word, to come to sermons? Well, maybe it has become this self-centeredness, self-righteousness. It's deadly to the Christian. Take heed if you seem satisfied with yourself and don't hunger after more of righteousness and of true holiness. Because that's a bad sign. You're not in good health. Well, what else could do this to a Christian? Well, sometimes too many sweets. Doesn't that take away the appetite? Give too many sweets to the child just before dinner, he won't eat a bit of his dinner. He didn't hunger for it. Maybe sometimes we're getting too much of the richest, sweetest of the Word. Too much fluff, we might say. Too much candy, we might say. We need some of the meat, some of the strong meat. Sometimes a bit things that are not as tasty, but yet savory, if we have a true appetite. But the sweets, as it were, the fluff, candy, has taken away the appetite. But poisonous food, bad food can take away your appetite. You don't want to eat again when you've been the victim of food poisoning. You feel like you don't ever want to eat again. And you won't eat that food, perhaps, that seems to have poisoned you ever again, I hope. So we sometimes receive teachings that are erroneous, that have been a poison, as it were, in our spiritual system. And this can take away the appetite, at least for a while. And you need a cure. You need a remedy to this poison. You need a remedy to everything that would rob you and keep you from having this spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. If you're bloated with self, you need a help. If you're taking too many sweets, you need some help. If you've been poisoned, as it were, by arrows and heresies, you need something to remedy it, to counteract it, as it were. But if some things do rob us of our appetite, other things will help promote appetite, hunger, and thirst. And what are those things? First of all, exercise. Some people don't get enough exercise, and they don't feel hungry. Sometimes because they're not exercising, just sedentary life, sitting on the couch, never moving. That's not healthy or wholesome. Well, let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, but exercise thyself rather to godliness. Exercise thyself to godliness. So we need holy duties. Exercising the use of duties, of holy duties, both public and private. This creates hunger, promotes an appetite, gives thirst. Boy, you come in from a long walk or maybe from running or whatever you do, it's exercise, and you are thirsty. You are thirsty, aren't you? And then you get hungry. You would eat a horse, we used to say, because your appetite is built up. And exercise does it. Exercise yourself unto godliness. So you want the Word of God. You long to hear the Word. And you long for that righteousness that comes through the truth. And you want to be a witness. That's an exercise. When we are promoting the gospel and disseminating the gospel, that is an exercise that is healthy spiritually for us. We're always taking in, and we need to be doing that. We don't need to give it up, the feeding, but we need also to be giving out, to be telling others, even if it's just to come to church. If you don't feel you can do more, invite them to the church that they might hear there the Word of God that you're listening to. That's a wonderful way to evangelize. Maybe to a Bible study, to a prayer meeting. I don't know what you can invite others to, but certainly you should be doing so. That is exercise, spiritual exercise. And never to exercise leaves one pretty self-satisfied. But those who have this exercise will be hungry and thirsty. Appetizers sometimes are given to people before eating to help not kill the appetite, but to stimulate the appetite. Sharp food, sour food sometimes will put an edge on the appetite so that we have a relish for the things that we're later going to receive. And so the sharp pains of affliction, tribulation, persecution, sufferings, for Christ's sake, put an edge on our appetite and put a desire for holiness and a desire for the Word of God, like nothing else can do. So sometimes there are things that promote an appetite that are like appetizers. Now, the poor are often hungry, aren't they? Because they don't have enough. So sometimes God puts us in that position where we sort of lapse a bit into poverty spiritually. Maybe it's to increase the appetite, put an edge on it. These are sharp things that can stimulate sometimes appetite. Many afflictions have done so. and taken the sweet taste out of our mouth and given us a relish for things that are savory and wholesome and good for us. And so we increase in hunger and we increase to bit with thirst. And then there are purgatives. This is a way in which God sometimes gives us more appetite than we had before. Stopped up. Bitter herbs. Many things can purge us. And we may need a bit of purging. And it restores the waning appetite when we find ourselves empty, as it were, through purgatives. This repentance brings. Repentance for sin is like a purgative, so to speak. It may be bitter a bit, but it's a stimulation to appetite and will increase your hunger eventually. And your thirst as well. Your desire and hunger for righteousness and for the Word of God that is promoting righteousness. So repentance may be a necessary thing in your life from time to time. I think it should go on daily, really. The Christian life is basically a daily repentance. Keeps us, as it were, regular. But for what are you hungering? For what do you today hunger? What is the greatest longing in your soul? What brings you, as it were, to the brink, maybe even of pain in this hungering? Very few of us have ever come to be that hungry physically. And sometimes it doesn't seem we're ever that hungry spiritually. But what would give you the greatest, what is your greatest longing and hunger? I pray that it might be for righteousness, for holiness, to be like Jesus. That is what a Christian desires. Desires so painfully sometimes in his soul that he feels hunger and thirsting for the Lord Jesus Christ. So happy are you who are in such a condition. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. Who can do this? The Holy Spirit alone brings such things into our life and gives us joy and peace and love and grace and hunger and thirst for righteousness. So let us look to the Lord Jesus. Let us feast upon the Lord Jesus. Let us hunger for the Lord Jesus. Let us thirst for the Lord Jesus. And let us feed upon the Lord Jesus. Press on. Christ will fill the hungry soul. He fills the hungry soul with good things, wholesome things, nutritious things spiritually. He does give us the things that truly, ultimately satisfy. And we are blessed, happy people, if we can learn these lessons and turn to the Lord, to Him alone. Let us stand together. Lord in heaven, we hunger and thirst, sometimes for this world, position, power. We long to be beautiful, handsome or strong, whatever it is we long for. But these will never, never satisfy. And this world, what seems to satisfy turns, as it were, while we're still eating it, seems to cloy, turn rancid, so to speak. Too sweet, too sour. Give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Therefore, give us a hunger and a thirst after your word. For this is what will sanctify us. Your word is truth. And the truth alone can make us holy. Alone can sanctify. So let us love you with all our heart. And be satisfied only with those things that are eternal, that will last and never turn, never cloy. Grant this out of your grace, only by your grace, but always by your grace. May we live, as it were, with hungry souls, as thirsty souls, looking to the Lord Jesus to fill and satisfy, and Him alone. And this we pray for His great glory, and in His name, amen.